Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 22nd. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing wonderful. You know, I am. I'm just moments after my first sip of coffee. Probably my favorite, consistently favorite moment of every day.
Consistently, sure. It's reliable. It's there for you. What kind of coffee did you have? Good Walk coffee? Did you have the shotgun start or the fried egg blend? You're a fried egg lighter
fried
guy,
egg blend.
Right?
Yeah. That's right now what I got. I
right
the
off the. Unplanned ad read here off the bat. Goodwalkcoffee.com.
That gnome's looking good above your shoulder. Love it up there.
You like it up there? The gnome flag? My wife has started to forget it's there. Maybe it will last a little longer, you know, and never won the battle to get it out front of the house. That's not happening. How was your first weekend at home in a while? Good to be back. Do you feel rested or do you feel haggard, more rugged, you know, beat up?
I feel rested. I feel like I need more weekends at home, to be completely honest. But there was a long list of things to do. I didn't get through all of them.
Did you get the rug down?
Yeah, that was
good job.
That was rough. Somebody asked me if I just like did the old, you know, pull half the bed up.
Yeah,
trick.
Yeah, just try to throw it under. Yeah.
I did not do that. I pulled everything out of there. We got it all centered up. It's down. I had to get rug tape. I got rug tape to put down to hold in place in case we have like because we had to move all the other stuff in. Get it all in. And my wife's like, I don't think I like the rug.
Huh. All right. Well, it's a good weekend. Wild weekend for you.
So we
putting rugs
might
down.
Might be starting over. Might be back to square one in the rug world.
I mean, I think you just gotta play the situation. Conditions lie, you know, pin location on that one. I might say I think you gotta like it, but you gotta feel that one out. You gotta feel that maybe you might not have the where you'd be in a position to say such a thing right now.
I'm just hoping that, like the gnome behind you, it begins to blend in. That's what I'm kind of hoping for. It begins to blend in a couple weeks from now.
Yeah.
We've forgotten that there's even a rug down there. You know, because I feel like that is what kind of happens with rugs, you know?
That's true. That's true. All the effort, and they're just forgotten about. All the effort. It's not the effort to get it down, though, is never forgotten, I imagine. So, where should we start? Big Monday morning. We are recording late. The PGA Tour did not push up tee times on Sunday. The storms came.
Can we talk about that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do they have like the weather yips? What's going on here?
I was at my daughter's gymnastics class. I opened PGAtour.com, your favorite website. First story, slot one. This is about 11 a.m. Eastern. Forecast updated for Sunday. Said, I wonder if there, why would this be in slot one? I wonder if there's potential issues. Open it. Oh, yeah. 80% chance thunderstorms coming. 4 o'clock. Boom, bang.
Right, but, right when they're going to be on the back nine.
And it came, and they got stuck with their pants down for 45 minutes of golf.
So they finished with Scotty was on the 12th fairway.
No. Then came back, got through 15.
When the 80% thunderstorms came through.
Yep. Got to before darkness.
Hole.
Yep.
That's right about where you would have guessed he would have been on the 12th, on the 4 p.m. when the forecast was.
So they played about 45 minutes last night, 45 minutes today. About 50 minutes, give or take, whatever you want to say about last night. Depends on, I love some of the, maybe the tour officials just wanted one more night at the Salty Dog. down there at the southern tip of Hilton Head. It seemed like Pat Cantlay
wanted one more night.
He wanted one more night. Who was ahead of him that didn't putt out? Oh, God, I forget. He marked his ball.
Did you see Woozy chimed in?
No.
Oh, God. Woozy.
Ian Woosnam?
Took to Twitter to talk about Patrick Cantlay marking his ball.
No. Ian Woosnam? Has thoughts on the restart?
So just to clarify what happened, right? When you're playing in darkness hits, you have the option to finish the hole.
Patrick the horn Cantlay, blows. It's not a hard horn where there's lightning for day. It's for your discretion. You can finish the hole. Go ahead.
Patrick Cantlay was on the 18th hole and hit his second shot onto the green and decided to mark his ball rather than putt out. Didn't finish putting.
But to clarify, the second shot was like he could have quit then, but he decides to hit the hard shot, like into the wind, just winds howling it at him. Hitting a 3-wood, I think it was, or he hit a 5-wood short, played the hard shot, but then decided to stay the night after getting punched in the face with the approach.
So he marked his ball. But not only his playing partner has to come back too to sign the card, I think.
Per Trevor, he does not. Someone else can attest if they finish.
Somebody else attested.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, so he then marks his ball. Goes and sleeps and wakes back up at whatever 6 a.m. for the restart to go hit 2 putts. He wasn't in the mix. I guess, you know, if he 3 putted, he finishes T5. If he 2 putted, he finishes T3. So
stayed a 15 under. Yep.
Woosnam tweets, "Can't believe my eyes watching Patrick Cantlay. Why on earth would you hit your second shot then mark your ball? Absolutely crazy." Maybe it says a lot. With the bear holding his eyes.
What an interesting thing for Woozy to chime in on. The guy is just sporadic with his takes these days. But that was one. JT Poston was the guy ahead of him who marked his putt, by the way.
Woozy had tweeted 4 times, 5 times since March 1st.
One
of them's
one
about Patrick Cantlay parking his ball instead of finishing putting out.
So you have a quibble with the PGA Tour deciding not to just push it up a little early. They have 69 players in the field, a 2-hour storm essentially on Sunday, and they don't get it in. I think, you know, there was a lot of hollering about this. Now we're recording on Monday morning because of it, essentially. A lot of hollering about it. I think it was part the network on this one. I'm not trying to, throw CBS under the bus either. They kind of have influence or have at least a voice in this. And I think they were going to try to push it, see if they could sneak by the thunderstorms. They didn't, and get a Sunday finish, you know, a Sunday night finish, as opposed to doing the tape delay thing or trying to finish at 3:00 Eastern. I think CBS was like, can we try for the on-time normal finish? This is professional sports, quite honestly. The networks have some influence, whether it's the NFL, NBA, they don't have all the say, but it is a partner issue, and it seems like that was part of the issue for this signature event, which you get yet another Monday finish. 45 minutes of golf, Scotty just taps in, cleans it up, and that's it. So probably not a big audience on Monday morning.
We'll have to say not a big audience is on at 5 a.m. West Coast time.
Well, nobody cares about the West Coast anyways.
I will say, you know, CBS pushing, making sure that the world saw maybe the worst vest I've ever seen in competition.
What was going on there? Yeah, you know, Scotty's pretty, it's a conservative dresser.
Yeah.
You know, not a critique at all. I don't mind it.
I mean, but then I like Scotty's just going, rolls out classics, you know?
Yes, yes. Even with Nike, which is hard to do when you're a Nike athlete. It's hard not to avoid the step on a landmine they throw at you, Nike, sometimes, as we've seen from Tony Finau and others. But, yeah, what was with the vest? What was the slit down the back?
I don't know. It was like flapping around in the wind.
Was that for warmth? What also, was it for?
It looked like it was like, I don't know. The fabric just looked like it was like, it was like shiny. It was like, it had a sheen to it. Did you notice that?
Yes. It was like a garbage bag. It was a cellophane type thing going on there. Why is he wearing that? What's he doing? Is that for wind protection?
I think he's just trying to give people other people chances to beat him. And today's is like, what if I wore this garbage bag that they say is a vest and it flaps around in the wind a bunch? Will that give my competitors a better chance of beating me?
That's amazing what some of the best players in the world have overcome. They're doing I've started watching the Valhalla retrospectives. What they had Rory in 2014 was a disgrace. With the sleeves, the two-tone sleeve and chest area, different colors. But Scotty overcomes the vest. I'll just do it now. I thought we were going to go with Nelly, but I don't know. We started shouting about the restart. It's the most fresh thing that just happened.
Why are we recording?
Recording Monday.
Why did I get up at 5:30 this morning?
Because you had to watch 45 minutes. You had to watch him play 16, 17, 18. He makes a bogey on 18. 18 was, this was, would have been fun to watch more golf in these conditions late last night and this morning. People hitting 3 woods. 5 woods into 18. It's cold off of Calabogie Sound, your favorite body of water. It's a sound, not a sea nor an ocean. It's a sound. I'm not going to get into that debate. But it was an ass kicker this morning. He makes a bogey. It's his only bogey of the week. I was just, you know, I had planned to talk about this before he'd done that. Like, you go to Hilton Head and everybody's going to make birdies. It's just a thing. That's why they're professional golfers. That's why they're in signature events. They make birdies in bunches. I think among the top five finishers, which is 8 guys when you count ties, I think there were 3 total rounds out of 40 in the 70 or above. So they're all shooting like 68 is just they roll out of bed, right? And that's all week. I think you're going to make birdies. Where Scotty clearly has separated himself. And we see it this morning. It's like 17 hard into the wind. Last night, I think it was 14. And that was a little close for comfort. He never, ever, ever makes the big mistake. And that was what was shocking, I think, about 10 last week on Saturday. He just doesn't, he's too good executing. And then there's just zero, even in windy conditions, even in when there's water, there is potential for a bogey. It's like the bogey avoidance right now for me that is separated himself so clear and above even the best players in the world, like a Patrick Cantlay, like a Rory McIlroy. We see them make bogeys and doubles. Wyndham Clark opened with a 72. That's not going to get you a win at Hilton Head. So he's just total bogey avoidance off of a kind of a sleepy week, a hangover week, as you call it.
I mean, it was like the Masters. This win is so impressive just because to win after you won the Masters, like you got to be like the mindset. It just shows the mindset that he's operating at. We see this all the time with players. They come back the week after the Masters, especially now that they have these signature events. After majors.
Separate right? issue. Same purse.
Like, we see
million.
Guys, like, and it's like an auto, like, T30, you know?
Uh-huh.
And this guy just goes out and wins, and he made a double and a bogey. And I think, like, the shot that I'll remember from this event was he hits this just laser approach into 2 on Sunday. Like, it was unbelievable. The greens got really bouncy. I don't think he expected them to be as bouncy.
Right.
This was before the rain, and it bounces over the green and it goes to this back area. And
oh,
it's
God.
Like a really bad spot. Like, it was not a good spot. He's got Ted Scott's up there, like, land it here. You know, he's over on like the very edge of the green. And, you know, you just think about like Sepp Straka, who's one shot behind him at this point. And Sepp's like kind of not in a great spot, but he's going to make a par. And and Scotty hits this chip shot, and it's just like, it's such a hard shot. He hits it exactly where Ted Scott was pointing, and it like takes the slope and rolls sideways. It's at that point rolling perpendicular to where he's standing, rolls right into the hole. It was just, and he makes an eagle, and all of a sudden he's three shots up. Nobody's close to him, and it's like, oh, it's over, you know?
Yeah.
And that's got to be how his peers feel.
Yeah. He talked about after the round, this is mentally the best he's ever felt. And you just cited, like, to be able to come back, he just flies in Wednesday, and mentally it's the best he's ever felt. We knew he had, like, an all-time year last year. He just was horrendous putter. This isn't, like, a huge comeback. He's kind of stayed as good as he was. He's just he's putting not as poorly. And mentally, it sounds like he's as strong as ever.
Can I bring up something I brought up? I said on the Fried Egg Pod last week with Bacon. Real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think like something I've been thinking about a lot since the Masters is how Scotty, all he does for in terms of practice is just like, he just works on the fundamentals. Like he uses that grip thing.
The molded grip. Yeah.
So his grip just doesn't get off.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, it's like a little reminder. He works on it every day before, like first thing he does, works on his grip, works on his alignment, and they work on their takeaway. So alignment, ball position, grip. If you nail your setup, I think setting up to a golf ball is like the hardest thing to do in the world. And I think like a lot of these guys, they have their coaches there all the time,
uh-huh,
and they're working on this, they're working on that. So many times your swing changes just because you set up a little bit different from day to day. And that leads to so many inconsistencies. Scottie Scheffler's done a lot of marvelous things with his golf swing, but maybe the best thing that he does is that it's so simple. And the way he prepares for every round, it's like, it's just setup check. Okay, we're setting up to the ball well. We're taking the ball back or taking the club back on plane. They're ready to go to the golf course. And I think that's kind of like the key to this consistency, is that setting up to a golf ball is so hard to do regularly great. And all this guy focuses the majority of his energy on his golf swing, on setting up to a golf ball. I don't think it's like a coincidence that he's like the most consistent player we've seen since Tiger.
Yep. Yep. I that's what I love about him in comparison to some of the guys who get in so much of the weeds with swing, right? And I think that's probably where the putting is more of this mystical thing and become sort of the superstition. Like, why isn't it going in? Why, like, it was change putters. What do I change? Like, change coaches. And maybe that's where, you know, it's just can be more fickle, right? And you get bring in Phil Kenyon, who gets definitely in the weeds. Like, he's a guy that will start.
He had the laminated play sheet out.
Yeah, yes. But it seems to be working now. You mentioned how the competitors like know it's over. Who do you feel like Scotty's won 4 out of 5? It was Steven Yeager, the Scotty Stopper in Houston. The 4A, it's the only thing that's blocked him from going 5 for 5. We'll get to Nelly here shortly. Who do you think among his peers is feeling the most anxiety about this run? Being like, whoa, like, I'm not that. I need him to start missing putts again. We have Rory's 2 in the world. Xander's 3. Rahm is 4. Rahm is off to live. You know, Wyndham Clark playing as good a golf, maybe the best golf of his life this year, getting a bunch of runners up. He got his win at Pebble, but runners up at, you know, players. And again, this week, top 3, who do you feel is like, geez, I'm just playing in the wrong time at the wrong moment, or feeling the pressure to like raise his level?
I mean, I think the answer has to be Rory. And I think probably, this is something that when you're a superstar for 15 years that you deal with on multiple occasions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's Cabin been around so long. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Spieth, Rahm, yeah. You know, yeah. JT to a certain extent, DJ when he won all those events in a row ahead of the Masters. Was it three or four? It was three in a row, right?
I think it was three and it's straight last year. Yep.
But you know, this is just something like this is, I guess my question, my big thing that I was thinking about, I mean, Scotty's just putting field average. And that's what all we said last year was like, God, if this guy putts field average, it's over. He's going to win everything. This feels pretty sustainable in terms of maybe not winning every week. And you always feel that way in the moment. But I don't think that there's a lot that can go wrong here for Scotty. And to your question, I think it has to be Rory just because, like, I mean, Xander hasn't won a major. John Rahm's off playing in Australia this week. And, you know, we'll see how, I mean, it's kind of like a sad tale because last year Scotty had some of this and he was going back and forth with him.
Right.
And he's gone. Right. You know, he's just.
Does Scotty need to win every major to satisfy the live bots for beating up combined fields? I'm kidding.
I wanted to ask you this. We're at the point where if Scotty doesn't win more than one major, I feel like it's a little bit of a disappointment.
I mean, a lot can change between now and mid-June, mid-July. I guess Valhalla is quickly approaching.
I mean, I was looking at the calendar, just like plotting out, like the way the Masters was so late, these first mm-hmm. three majors are so condensed.
Yeah.
Because the U.S. Open week starts June 10th.
It's an early one this year.
Yeah. And the Masters was a late one. So you're effectively getting three majors in 8 weeks.
Yeah. I saw the word like unprecedented a bunch, like a run of, it's not, there's precedent. There's precedent for this. We've seen this, like David Duval this morning, they showed the stat, got 10 wins in 30. Like there's Vijay, there's Tiger, obviously several times over. Bernhard Lahner, 85, went back to back the mat. Like that's been rare to just drop into Harbortown and win again. There's precedent. I guess we just probably didn't think it was going to happen like this in the modern with the depth of the modern game. And maybe that's a little bit of part. I know the depth has been diminished a little bit with Liv. I just don't think we expected to see a Vijay 04 run again, but I guess we should have. And I don't know. I feel like that's hard to judge his season as, I don't know what word you want to use. Disappointment if he doesn't get more than one major. He got the Players and a Masters and he's won four times. I think his season is a success. I don't think he needs anything else.
So if he doesn't win another event, there's no disappointment.
Yes. No. I mean, look at his peers. Look, like what would Colin Morikawa, Xander, Cantlay, these guys would kill for a single year that he's had before the end of April. And so
everybody would kill for this year.
Yes. 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 It's crazy. Yes. So no, I'm not going to raise the stakes like that on him. It's crazy.
The other thing that I was thinking about rattling around in my brain, we could be getting the year that I've been waiting for that's going to blow up this stupid FedEx Cup.
They're putting their money into Memphis NIL. They may be out on golf. They're putting like a bunch of money into Memphis.
$25 million.
Yeah. Scotty gets that for just winning the cup.
If he wins like 10 times, including like a playoff event, his reward is strictly a three-shot advantage.
I mean, yeah, it's absurd.
It's a playoff. I have to hand it to him. It's a playoff. But if you're going to give out an advantage, it doesn't seem like the same amount of points equitable for the accomplishment of the year.
I mean,
my dream scenario at this point of the season is that Scotty wins like 12 times, but doesn't win the overall FedEx Cup.
I mean, that's the postseason. Andy, if Jason Tatum turns an ankle and the Celtics, who won 20 more games or something than the Heat, I know Jimmy Butler, like, that's not going to happen. But, like, this is what happens in playoffs. The Celtics are demonstrably better than the Heat this year. That's what the playoffs are.
It's, you know what, we could have, maybe Scotty will turn his ankle. He'll finish 30th in history. Remember that he came in 30th in the FedEx Cup in 2024.
There's no perfect. I don't think there's a perfect system, but yes, it's amusing. One can dream just for the sake of this podcast that we can shout about.
I would be floored if the playoffs were a clean slate and everybody started at zero. I would be floored. But we're half in, half out, and it allows us to you know, play both sides of the. I'm not gonna lie, I'm playing both sides here. But I'm allowed to because the system's ridiculous. We'll see Scotty next. Wells Fargo, maybe? He didn't play there last year.
He's gonna become a father. I don't know if you heard that in the intervening days.
Was the father talk at the Masters a little overdone?
Yes, but not by
retrospect.
Through no fault of Scotty's own. I mean, that this was the media just trying to drum up drama and story. Oh, it's Meredith in labor. What's going to happen? Well, she's 3 weeks out. You know, these people just creating hypotheticals just for media narrative, not Scotty's fault. And then he he's just there the next week. It's like, why were we freaking out so much? Like, are we freaking out this week? He just wins again. So, yeah, I could see him skipping Wells Fargo. Go ahead.
What wouldn't you skip?
I wouldn't skimp on choosing comfortable footwear for my golf adventures. And recently, those adventures have included almost a 2-week-long trek around Northern Ireland. And for that, I had my Echoes. You had your trusty EVRs, your signature shoe. I had the Echo LT1.
You know who's wearing the LT1s now?
Your guy, EVR.
Eric Van Rooyen. He's ditched the signature shoe. I joined him. I wanted to be along for the journey, feel like I was part of Team Van Rooyen. So I got on the signature shoe. And then, you know, now he's wearing the LT1s. He's wearing your shoe.
I can be a little picky, maybe too conservative with my golf shoe choices. These are both conservative, and you can get a little wild with some of the colors. I went white with a solid blue bottom. These are really comfortable, great shoes. They're classic looking shoes. One thing I struggle with, Andy, for being honest, they're all white. I struggle. Do I wear those when I wear like a khaki pant? Because then you just look like, you know, it's like the white on white thing. It looks like you're just wearing socks and there's just too much. It looks really pops with a navy or green or a darker pant. I got to figure out the color scheme for a whiter or a khaki pant. But
something
they're amazing shoes.
I want to hit on here for a second. The EVR signature shoe.
Yeah.
I hadn't walked in those once until Northern Ireland. Now, most people would think that's a death sentence. That is you are setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for blisters, sore feet, you know, as we trekked around. I was A+ all the whole trip. Mm-hmm. No shoe problems, no feet problems, no blisters, because these are the most comfortable shoes in golf.
Yep. You go to echo.com. Shop the LT1. Honest to God, I have a lot of golf shoes. I have a lot of brands. I've been able to come into some shoes. These were
Grayson Murray Pro-Am shoes.
Yeah. By choice, this is what I wore last week at Augusta Tree Farm. We were there. That's what I packed for Augusta National. Like these satisfy both style and comfort for me. And when I have a lot of options, Echo LT1, I highly recommend checking these out. And you can mix it up, get a little more colorful if you want. All right. Anything else from RBC we need to clean up? Jordan Spieth has wrist stuff. Toasty goes too soon on the restart. Absolutely fabulous. Toasty goes out there and just gets blasted by the rain. Nance is narrating, miscommunication. We got to miss. He's just trying to, you know, he doesn't have a lot of patience. He went out there and just got smoked by the rain with, you know, 5 minutes more of golf to play. Anything else? I love the, go ahead. You can jump in there.
It's amazing that Toasty is now into the signature events.
Played all right.
Only person within a shot off the tee of Scotty. And strokes gained.
Wailing away. His Sunday playing partner, Wyndham Clark. I don't know if he... Did you see Wyndham Clark's quote? Everybody, you know, Sergio at the Masters said golf is in a perfect spot. Wyndham, not far off from that one.
About the ratings. This was insane.
Everybody's saying, you know, money, people have fatigue. We need to get back. You know, Scotty says that at home. All these others are just like, we need to get back to just stop talking about money. Wyndham, on the other hand, I find it really hard to believe that ratings are down. He wants a recount or something. If you're at the tournament, it's fantastic. I think people that I do know that are watching it loved it. I think golf is growing. I think golf sales have grown. I think I know golf memberships are growing. All maybe true. It makes no sense.
Golf's doing great. Men's pro golf is not doing great.
He doesn't believe the numbers. The ratings are, I find it hard to believe the ratings are down. It makes no sense that professional level, the viewership would be down. Well, there is a little bit of sense. All the best players aren't in the same spot and people are sick of the bullshit. A completely deluded quote from Wyndham there.
I read that this morning and it was just, laugh. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's why men professional golfers shouldn't be ever
in charge.
Suggested to be representative of the game of golf.
Well, one person who is representing the women's game right now is Nelly Korda. She wins her fifth straight. You know, this was came Sunday night. Had we recorded Sunday, probably the lead story. Definitely the lead story. Still is the lead story, just not as timely as we record Monday. Nelly Korda plays the par fives and 10 under, nearly aces the 71st hole, the par 3 17th.
She didn't pay it off, though.
No, she didn't. Guess it got a little, you know, it was a grind out there. Not quick. Back nine, she was clearly grinding to get in the house. Maya Stark, had she hold out for eagle, would have, you know, forced Nelly to do something on 18. Yeah. Instead, she kind of, I wouldn't say cruises, because the back nine was a bit of a grind, but she wins her fifth in a row. It just felt like expected and natural, and that is not diminishing the accomplishment of it, but it was a long day. I think she got up at like 4:30 in the morning to restart the third round, comes out, kind of steers it in, quickly races out on the front nine in the final round, and in a 6-hour round after a restart in the morning, and gets it done. But it just felt like expected. If she was around, you expected her to take the lead, rise to the top, hold it, and she does. And that's a compliment that it's expected at this point.
It's insane. I mean, she came into the year, obviously a decorated player. I think I saw she had 6 wins and 1 major going into this year. This year, she has 5 wins and 1 major. So she's almost matched her mark of her entire career, which was already a great career, was already probably the most recognizable women's golfer. And now you sit back and it's like, I think one of the big questions of the year was, about Nelly Korda and stars for the LPGA tour. And now you sit back and somebody's almost doubled their career, which was obviously one of the big careers on the LPGA tour. She now has 11 wins, 2 majors. And who knows? She's playing again this week at Wilshire. See if she can get 6 in a row.
I mean, it's setting all sorts of marks. American women's golf, it had been a while, right? Since they had like a superstar like this that matched both, you know, stardom plus accomplishment on the course, dominating. And I think it's what the LPGA has been wanting. She doesn't necessarily, I don't know if like reserved is the right word. She tends to be an introvert. And I think she's, you know, she's going to do it her way. She doesn't want to be like, clearly there's this like repeated talk of the bubble. I have my bubble around me, whether it's her management, coaches, and all that. And it seems to be working. I wouldn't change. Obviously, you shouldn't change a thing about who you are and how you're preparing when you're winning every single week. They need somebody to step up, I think. Needed somebody. Not, this isn't like beggars can't be choosers kind of thing, but it would be awesome. They like need someone to push her. It would be amazing if they get that through the summer at some of the other majors. So
I mean, it's if you think about where golf was at the beginning of the year, we were kind of like, who's a star? Do we have, you know, like we didn't have a lot of stars, either men's or women's. And now through the first quarter, we're just through the first quarter of the year. We've got two like bona fide super duper stars that have really put themselves head and shoulders above everybody else. I wouldn't have been able to see this happening.
Yeah. It made for the Sunday kind of after the Masters to be incredibly appetizing and incredibly exciting, both Scotty and Nelly.
That's what I told my wife. I was like, I like have to watch golf today because it's like a historic golf weekend. She's like, what's historic about this weekend? I'm like, well, this one woman's going to win her fifth in a row. And this, the guy, on the men's side, this guy's going to win four or five. She's like, whoa, really? She doesn't care. She was just annoyed that I had to watch golf and it was
she
like,
doesn't know who any of these people are.
And she was like, really? Five in a row? That seems like a lot.
So she's got Lancaster in about a month, Sahali after that, and then I guess you can put the Evian, Munde Evian. It's just there's four more chances for her. That's a little more elongated. The women's open at the old courses until the very end of the summer. But yeah, you've got two American majors here within the next, I don't know, 2 months. So another
Did you chance. See did you see Koo bounce it off the off
oh, yeah.
the off the little platform in the lake?
I mean, I think that's as much as an achievement as winning five in a row. I think you should be allowed, if you find dry land, you should be allowed to place the ball anywhere you want on the green. An Skip incredible play. Not sure it was intended. Low amateur, Jasmine Koo bounces it off the activation chevron sign in the middle of the lake that Nelly did jump into. Only disappointed to see her continue that tradition, that forced tradition carried over from an event that was thousands of miles away.
I got to hand it to her going full cannonball, though. That was good form.
Cold. It's chilly out there, too, it seemed. Not a warm day in Houston, though.
Was that, did that, do you think that this win with Nelly on this run, did that really, was that a big moment for this major that's void of any history until, you know, this build a major that we have here, the Chevron.
I guess you're asking the wrong person. I just it's not doing it for me. And even with Nelly winning five in a row, it helps. It's certainly big time. It helps. You want Nelly to be winning majors given how well she's played. Does it do anything for you?
No, not really. I think
still
like
build a major.
It needed some. This helps, but it's, you know, the legacy of these majors is made over like decades, right?
Uh huh.
After the first great players, we weren't like, oh, this is a major.
The final round was nearly a decade. 6 hours, 15 minutes. Brooke Henderson.
I mean, this is
puttering alongside. Tough day.
Brooke Henderson
Canada.
Should be put on the clock the second she tees it up.
It's as bad as it is to watch on TV. I'm still scarred from going to Congressional a couple years ago, the women's PGA. It's like you bring, you know, girls out, they want to follow Nelly, my daughter. It's worse in person. It's impossible. And
you just are standing there, and
six hours?
you get tired standing there because of how slow the play is.
And you have an opportunity here with a bona fide superstar. Make everything as appealing and attractive as possible for your game. And that is a tough mark on a Sunday finish. So
why were they playing threesomes?
I think with the restart. Yeah, trying to get 1.5 rounds done essentially on a Sunday. So congrats to Nelly Korda. As story 1A, 1B, both her and Scotty right now make it really exciting to be a professional golf fan.
Which one are you more impressed by?
I think it's silly to compare.
I mean, they're
very equal right now. It's crazy how almost 1-1 they are, right?
Yeah, I mean, Scotty's won 3 signature events.
Yeah, that's Bay Hill Players. Yeah,
and the Masters and a major. He's only lost to Steven Yeager. And then
Nelly won a match play. She won a different format.
I know. The match play is crazy. So she's won a major and a match play. It's wild. It's unbelievable, this run. Both of them. Yeah. For them to do it at the same time is the crazy thing to me, too. It's like, I mean, we wouldn't have seen either of this. Like, if I had said to you, somebody's going to win, you know, on the LPGA or PGA Tour or Champions Tour. If you would have gone Champions Tour, you would have guessed that somebody would run roughshod over them.
I don't even know who won.
Big invite on for the Champions Tour that came through the inbox.
We did.
But if you were going to say that, like, this, you would have been hard pressed to believe that this could have happened anywhere in pro golf, and then to have it going on both tours at the same time.
Crazy. If you want to get on a run of your own, you go to clubchampion.com and use the promo code Fried Egg. That's the summer run to set you up.
I got news for you. All these guys on the PGA Tour, all these guys that are trying to chase down Scotty, he seems pretty optimized. I think they need to get optimized themselves.
You don't Maybe think
now
they're optimized.
Now's the time to drop that equipment sponsor, go brand agnostic, and and go there, go in, test out everything and see what fits your game the best. That's what you do at Club Champion. That's how you might end up in as a troop when you don't expect it. That's
explore what the Wilson truck has to offer for you. Who knows? They just all the brands, 60,000 hittable shafts, 65,000. I don't want to, you know, knock off an extra 5,000 hittable head and shaft combos. At every Club Champion, they've got locations all across the country and internationally. You use the promo code Fried Egg, you get $100 full bag fitting or $50 for any other fitting type with a club purchase. You know, it's 50% off. Sorry, 50% off with the code Fried Egg. When you make a club purchase, and you're going to make probably a club purchase, you're going to get all fitted up. You might be a PXG. You might be a troop. We had someone we were playing whose mind was blowing when you pulled out wait, you're a troop? They were just, they were incredulous when they saw, I was like, well, that's what the numbers told me as we were playing, I think Tree Farm it was last week. But that's what the data told you at Club Champion. It's stupid now to go out and just start pulling clubs off the rack or just being susceptible to marketing speak, this, that, or the other. This has got this core or this speed jet, this thing or that. Go get fit, hit balls, have an expert look over you, and get dialed in at clubchampion.com. Promo code, again, Fried Egg. We've had a great response to this one, and they've been a great partner now for a couple of years. Promo code is Fried Egg for 50% off the fitting cost there. All right. I think we did enough on the Chevron. I'm just going through my notes here. Heritage, we've covered. We have to get to Billy Boy, the town crier, winning
Victory Monday,
Corrales Punta Cana Championship. Fabulous. We had a great message.
Incredible message.
I don't know if they want to be anonymous or what, but
we'll just keep it anonymous. Sort of
crystallized professional golf right now. You know, we had Billy Boy at Punta Cana, but you mentioned he was in the field on Wednesday. I was like, really? I know he's like, you know, not played his best, But it just didn't feel commensurate, the Billy Boy and the Punta Cana. But he goes down there and mops the floor, 63 on Sunday. What's so the message?
It was a post on our Instagram. Follow our Instagram. Maybe the most professionally run podcast Instagram in the game.
Totally. Totally. Everything's just meticulously crafted on that one. That account.
I put up Victory Monday coming. And it was just Billy Boy in his white jacket, you know, his Punta Cana jacket, you know,
and that straw hat. Yeah.
And somebody replied, we'll leave it anonymous just so they can keep, keep engaging with the account. Who put this show pony in the mule barn?
Yeah. It's fair. I mean, Billy, not a mule. Let's be clear. I think we've gotten a little liberal with the application of that term. Never would should have been. He's a FedEx Cup champion, for God's sakes. It's good to see him win again. Honest to God. Billy makes everything more interesting. He's a fabulous, intriguing player, character. Obviously, quick to comment on any matter, small or large, as it pertains to the game. One thing, I was looking through Billy's like Twitter account and stuff yesterday. The guy, whatever, maybe he says some things that you don't think are the sharpest. If nothing else, what I like about Billy is he's curious.
Oh, yeah.
He's curious. He's just like, he's open to, you know, Premier League, just becoming a super fan of the Premier League, going to play a lot of European tour events, playing an opposite field event. Maybe this guy's got cash, probably doesn't need to play, but he's wants to go down there in the mule barn as a show pony.
Went down
and,
there.
He's won 10 times as a pro, 8 times on the tour, WGC, you know, the FedEx playoffs. Like, guy's got probably a nest egg, but he just seems to be curious fella, and I appreciate that when a lot of golfers nowadays are robots, and I love seeing the image of him in the Punta Cana white. Is that a shirt or a coat? Feels like a button-down shirt.
I think it's a shirt, but it...
Yeah. Like, Draddy would call that the shirt jacket. It's like a combo type thing.
It seems more like a, you know, not a shirt jacket, maybe like a shirt, not shirt, you know, where you get the... You know, it's like not wearing a shirt, but wearing a shirt, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that he's just not a robot, and I don't know, wants to see the world a little bit, both as a touring pro and maybe a soccer fan, whatever it is. I don't mind Billy Boy, quite honestly. And he's
40th in the FedEx Cup now because of this win. He's
ring the bell.
He's got Justin Thomas 38, Jordan Spieth 39, Billy Horschel 40th. Luke List 41, Rory 42. What a murderer's row right there.
We got the Prince and the Town Crier right there in the 40s. Incredible. Good to see him win. You have anything else on Punta? Oh, Punta Cana. Can we check in? Sponsors exemptions, check in. This is how I spent my time. I ignored my daughter doing gymnastics, and I said, I'm going to check in on the Punta Cana sponsors exemptions. Jonathan Bird. Cut. Jeff Overton, cut. D.A. Points, cut. George McNeil, cut. Herman Wibb Sekne, cut. Ricky Barnes, Dutch boy, sadly, cut. Joe Durante, mid-am, cut. Jason Duffner, another sponsor's exemption. W.D., Sabo gets in, cut. Thurston, don't call me Tristan, Thurston Lawrence, cut. Nick Watney, cut. Just these sponsors exemptions are killing it. Eric Compton, made cut. DFL, I believe. Dirt McGirt, made cut. Alex Fitzpatrick, made cut. And to their great credit, Wes Bryan made the cut and nearly won it. So I don't know. You get a hit rate. If Wes Bryan nearly wins as a sponsors exemption, maybe you walk off.
They were,
you
know, a success, you're like, then.
That Ryan Poles. Yeah, if that's all you need.
Who do they have to choose from?
I don't know. Like,
it's not like people are dying to go down there and play
KFT
this event.
Guys. I don't know. I know they got to make their own points. Yeah, it's fair.
There are like no points when you compare this to The tour
to Harbortown.
Yeah. To Harbortown. I mean, it's like Justin Lauer finishes T4 and he goes from 77 to 70th.
Well, that's probably what you prefer. You'd be screaming your face off if they made any real movement.
A lot of people are calling Scottie Scheffler inevitable these days. But is Charlie Hoffman just inevitable? T4 up to 57 in the FedEx Cup. He's going to end up in the designated event somehow next year.
He had that 500 start celebration at Texas. It's a big year for Charlie Hoffman.
I mean, Kevin Tway finishes third. He goes from 191 to 124.
That's not the kind of gains we're used to for gains. You know, he needs more gains.
Still got a chance at those five wins that I declared after Safeway.
But the Wes Bryan showing redeems. He carries the water for the McNeils, the Birds, the Overtons, all the others, the points.
I think he was playing in the Influencer Monday qualifier, right?
For the Myrtle Beach. Guy's incredible.
Or is that just George?
I'm not sure. Guy's incredible. Guy wins. Wes Bryan. He's an incredible professional career, quite honestly.
I mean, he's kind of the 180 home run hitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not getting on base a ton, but when he makes contact,
and he's raking,
it's good.
Yeah. There's like a week in June. He hits like six homers within 1 week.
This was one of those weeks, maybe.
Yeah, it's an incredible career. A lot of guys would take it. Many guys. All right, that's Punta Cana. Congrats
to
Billy Boy.
Should we get to the 15-year-old sensation?
Sure. Miles Russell becomes the youngest ever to make the cut on the Korn Ferry Tour. Then he goes bananas on Sunday. I think 7 birdies and 10 holes. Finishes inside the top 20. Youngest on the KFT or PGA Tour ever, since 1983, I think, since we have records, to post a top 25. Again, 15 years old. This off the last year, I think he became the youngest AJGA to beat Tiger by about 8 months. Was it player of the year? Was that what he got in AJGA as a 15-year-old? Hits it a mile. An incredible.
He's tiny.
Like, whatever you want to say about Lakewood National or the Corn, like, those are legit pros. And he's making the cut and then going bonkers to finish top 20. An incredible achievement. I don't know what it means for his future. Hopefully, wish him well. Hopefully, he pops, becomes a star. But right now, in the moment, it's an amazing achievement. And I hope that we don't kind of lob too many expectations on him based off of it. So,
we will. Don't worry.
So I don't know. Do you have anything
else
you want to add?
If I could guarantee you anything, golf media will do that.
You won't believe how far this, you know, pipsqueak hits it.
I mean, he's in the next event. Top 25s in on the Korn Ferry get you into the next week. So he's in the next week. As for the tournament, I think Stephen Fisk finished. He lost in a playoff, but I think he lost in a playoff the last week too.
Yeah, he's playing well. Tim Whiting won it. Tim Whiting, who's quite thin, won it from Sweden. So went. Go ahead.
Other funny anecdote: Chris Ventura, Christopher. Those that have listened for a long time, a
favorite of here 5 years now.
He finished T4. Good news for him. He's a landlord. Did you know this?
No. No, low Norwegian for the week with Hovland not playing.
He's a landlord. Hovland rents a room from Chris in Jupiter. So you got the guy that won $50 million or whatever last year renting from the Korn Ferry Tour player in Jupiter.
Not totally surprising. I mean, Victor's winning, you know, millions of dollars and still going to the Applebee's in Stillwater for a long time. Simple man. I like it.
Heard he might be moving back.
Really?
Grumbling.
To Stillwater? I'm
hearing rumblings that he doesn't love the Jupiter
scene. I love that. That's enchanting. Do you, Victor? Don't succumb to the swamp life. I love that.
Hey, I heard you got your wife got an unsuspecting mailing this week.
What?
From the swamp.
Oh, yeah. We got a promotional pamphlet for Apogee. Not to me. From something like Links, like a 4-page pamphlet to my wife. She is like talking about this designer's building this course, Rory and Ernie and all this other stuff.
I heard there was a hand
coming through my mailbox.
Another friend of mine got one. He said, I got handwritten notes from Ernie and Rory.
Really?
Yeah. Did you get handwritten notes?
No, I didn't get that. My wife, I didn't get anything. My wife got it. My wife, who wouldn't know Scotty Scheffler from, you know,
Dowie Vanderwald.
Yeah. Precisely. Being solicited to join Apogee.
Doesn't
Never
seem
mind
like
the
a
money
good
part.
Sign if you're sending mailers.
Something Links magazine or something. I don't know. No, it's not even to me. So that's it for Swamp Minute. I think that's it for this episode. Do you have anything else you want to get to? Miles Russell, Nelly, Scotty, and Billy Boy. A good amusing Sunday of golf. Great Sunday.
Great Sunday
slash Monday morning.
We got the Zurich. We got walk up music coming this week.
Oh God!
And we got Wilshire. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like this Nelly thing, she's going for 6 in a row now.
She shouldn't play. Take a break.
I don't know. I think that's a great. Do you just
stay
keep it rolling? It seems like it's just going
great event. You want to see her out in L.A., a big metro area where they come out. So
hopefully Brooke Henderson takes the week off.
You see Darren Revelle pop Mike Weir for the SI cover, like A Star Is Born 23 years ago. They tweeted that, you know, this was the cover and the guy never won again. Canadians were pissed at Darren Revelle for Mike Weir drive by. And now we got Brooke. Tough Sunday.
We got a reply to the newsletter about how we didn't add Brooke Henderson to notables on Friday. Well, if she could play by herself in under 5 hours, we'll add her.
All right. That does it for this Monday episode of the Shotgun Start. We will be back Wednesday. Zurich, you heard it. Wilshire, we'll talk more. Professional golf rolling on.